This morning, you want to talk about bearing the word of God. So I'll get you to take your Bibles, and you can put your finger in the book of John, chapter 15. Mark that if you have your Bible with you, if you brought that with you. But question for you. Do you remember what life was like before a cell phone? Good times without a cell phone, right? What about before the computer? Yeah? What was better, before the computer or after the computer? Oh, okay. What about before a VCR? I remember going down, once we got a VCR, go down to the Blockbuster video. We were so excited. We could watch and rent movies at home. And watch them whenever we wanted to without what? Commercials. What about before television? I wasn't around before television existed. So some of you were. Like, I never experienced black and white and then going to color. Wow. What about the stove? What was your world like before the stove? What was the world like before the stove? Whatever kind of stove, right? There was the wood stove, and then there was the electric stove and the gas stove. What was your life like before the stove? We're getting really old here, right? What about the refrigerator? You have an ice box. What about the washing machine? When I was a kid, up in High Level, we had one of those old Ringer roller washing machines. And you know what? One night, I got bored, and I started playing with the washing machine, and it caught my finger and went all the way up my arm. That hurt. That hurt lots, and I went to the hospital. But, I mean, we had one of those. What about life before a couch? A couch. You guys have couches at home, right? What was life like before a couch? Was anybody around before the automobile? No. What was life before the automobile or before radio? Radio. We have streaming now. But what was life before radio? What about a watch? How many of you wear a watch this morning? Not too many. But before the phone existed, before the cell phone came, how many of you wore watches? Oh, most people would wear watches. A watch. What about life before the light bulb? The light bulb. Or even more simply, electricity. Now, the question with a twist. What is your life like without those things? Can you imagine? What would your life be like without a light bulb? Or an automobile. Or that little computer that you carry around in your pocket, the cell phone. What would your life be like without one of those? Can you imagine? How many of you think it would be a lot simpler? How many of you think that you would be more productive? How about less productive? That's the promise. That was the promise of the computer. You will become more productive, which I guess was true. You could do more things with a computer. You could write a lot faster if you knew how to typewrite. But what would your life be like without a couch, without an automobile, without a stove or a refrigerator? Taylor, when she was at school, in her apartment she has now, in her basement suite, doesn't have a stove. She's operated for like 3 years, 4 years, without a stove. But she has a hot plate. Where are you going with this, Pastor? Well, you have all this stuff. That what would your life be like without those things? You can't know what time it is. You can't turn on a light. You can't be informed. You can't keep warm or, dare I say, entertain the kids, even yourself. We used to take the long trips from Peace River down to Calgary, 9 hours every year for summer holidays. Can you imagine entertaining your kids for 9 hours? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So one of the most valuable things we had was a movie player. And then we got a van with a movie player built in. That was heaven. But then we had the fight between the kids because Taylor and Michaela were much older than Jordan and Naomi. So it was like, what are they going to watch? You talk to Jordan and Naomi, they couldn't watch. What was the one thing you guys couldn't watch? Avatar. They were not allowed headphones to watch Avatar. And the girl and Taylor and Michaela would get tired of watching Flintstones. But can you think of what life is like disconnected from those things that seemingly help us live life? Think about it. Think about it. Even the simple thing as a hairbrush. Tom and Dick and some of you don't have to worry about that. A hairbrush. I might get there. I don't know. My dad's got a full head of hair. Still in his little marked distinction, okay. We would all agree that daily living gets more difficult to navigate when modern conveniences that we own or have available to us stop working or no longer available. We would agree with that, right? Would we agree with that? What happens when your TV goes on the fritz? Or your computer stops working? Or you drop your phone in the toilet? Right? Traveling in Guinea, Africa, in the capital city of Conakry, 3 million people, I witnessed people living without electricity and cooking at the front and or the back of their houses over an open fire. Some even had a little hibachi or even a little barbecue grill. I watched both men and women, boys and girls, both young and old, walk up and down the streets, the main streets, between the cars, alongside the cars, selling bags of water, coffee, coffee whitener, tiny flashlights, food, anything that could possibly generate an income for them to live on and to even have a meal that night. One meal that day was at night. That meal for the majority of the people, the poor anyways, was rice, a vegetable, maybe two, and if you had a particularly good, profitable day, you might have a little bit of meat, some goat or chicken. I remember growing up in high level in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, when the National Energy Program came in. You remember that? That is a four-letter word. Do you remember what mortgages were? 18%. 18%. We ate eggs, chicken, fish fillets. We had milk. We had cheese slices. We had pork and beans, stew, spaghetti, hamburger, canned vegetables. Canned peas were the best. I know that would get a reaction. I love peas. Potatoes, macaroni, and hot dogs. Or we could say macaroni and beanies. Bologna and Spam. The odd time we had the pleasure of a roast and even some bacon. And my mom, she was a great baker. She could cook, she could bake. She would make bread, cookies, pies, and cinnamon buns. She was great that way. When I reflect what my mom and her husband at that time, Ken, who I called my dad, were able to do, they did pretty good during that time for us. Even if it was just fried bologna and Spam on toast. We always had something to eat. Some of you would not say that's nutritious, but it's what we had. The thing is this, in general, most people can make do, can live and survive in difficult circumstances or during trying times. We can make the sacrifices or make do with less when needed and not be too greatly affected or devastated. Most of us can adapt and come out the other side. I speak from experience. Having lived a life that most children and adults are not familiar with, my mother was married and divorced 8 times. She was in jail 4 times. I lived in foster homes 2x. I was in 17 different schools in 12 years, across 3 provinces and 5 cities. That was just my childhood. And then my first wife, Jackie, passed away at the age of 29. After 8.5 years of marriage, leaving me with my 2 daughters, Taylor and Michaela, at the ages of 2 and 4. We're talking more than about just macaroni and hot dogs. My mom, she passed early in her life. I was put in foster homes with strangers. My first wife, Jackie, was taken home to be with the Lord. All before I was 30 years old. Humanity can survive most things. We can adapt, we can change, we can do with less, do without. When we need to, when we have to, we can learn to live a different way, do things differently. We can absorb most mountains and speed bumps that come our way mostly. But I believe the most important question, the better question and thought for us to ponder is, what can I not live without? What can you not live without? A dog. I would agree. My dog, Nico, Nico has become such a component and a partner in our family, and my family would say, especially with you, that if Nico passed away, it would be really hard. Most of us will say family, my spouse, my children, those that we hold of great value and significance, we could not live without. Those relationships we put time into, take responsibility and effort to care and love and nurture. Those people that stand by you, with you, through whatever. My wife, my daughters, my son-in-law, my family, my grandson, and yes, even my dog Nico. He doesn't judge me too many times. Only if I don't take him for a walk. Things are things that rust and moth destroy. Right? They can't be taken with us to a hospital room, to a cell, or to the grave. I love my guitars, but I could make do without them if I had to. But I would not want to. How many of you love books? I love books. But I can remember the really great stories, the good principles. I could do without my books because I remember those things. I remember the stories. I remember the principles. But if I'm honest, it's a rarity that I read a book twice, unless it's super excellent. Unless it's super excellent. It seems like we love to get stuff just because we love getting stuff. How different would our closets look, our homes, if we just got over loving stuff or getting stuff? Some stuff definitely fulfills a purpose, but do I really need it? Can I live without it? What can I not live without? What about vanity? What about pride? Status, power, influence, popularity, and control. Can I live without those things? I would love to live without anger, but it seems to not want to leave me because my ego, my selfishness, and my self-righteousness says, someone owes me and I want my pound of flesh. I could do without guilt. I would love to jettison that to the wayside, but then that would mean ridding myself of myself. I can never live without guilt because I will always owe someone, and his name is Jesus Christ. Even though he has forgiven me and I cannot earn forgiveness, I feel guilty. I am responsible for death and sin. My sin put Jesus on the cross, and death and sin are all around me. I am never without sin until the day of final redemption at the resurrection and second coming of Christ. What an ugly and glorious thought at the same time. Can I live without myself? Getting rid of myself would mean choosing to love another. It means emptying myself of my importance and replacing it with the importance of another. Can I do that? Is that even possible? But yet there is a man who did that, who showed us that it is possible, but difficult. What a wonderful result would come to bear upon the world, upon my spouse, my children, upon each of us, upon the church, if everyone chose to live a life empty of self-importance. Would you agree? Would we ever lack love? Would we ever be lonely? Would we ever be in need? No, because nobody would be about themselves, but they would be about each other. I believe Paul said something similar to this in the Bible. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Maybe you agree with me about this. I would love to live without myself, but unfortunately I cannot. It's like the country song by Clint Black. Wherever you go, there you are. The old man tags along wherever I go. He twists my ear, he draws my eyes, he thinks my thoughts, he moves my feet, and I am trapped. As the Apostle Paul says, I do what I do not want to do, and I do not do what I want to do. Because the old man pulls and draws my heart. What am I to do? We are to bear the word of God. Ephesians 4:22 to 24. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. It's a present thing, not a past thing. It's a present thing. You put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, you are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. This is a reality when you come to believe and place our trust in Jesus. The Apostle Paul calls us to take off the old self and to put on the new self because of what has been accomplished in Jesus Christ on our behalf. Romans 6:6-9. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. Can you say amen to that? Death no longer rules over you, but only if you allow it to. Only if we allow sin to do so. Do we bear the word of God in our hearts so that we can remind ourselves that the old man is dead? We are no longer slaves to sin if we indeed died with Christ and trust in him. Do we believe this? Do we fight for this? Have we renewed our minds with this truth? Have we dwelled on this truth? Or has the enemy managed to strip the ball from you and cause you to fumble? Question. When my heart is drawn to that which I believe I cannot do without, is the word of God at the top? Is the word of God in the conversation? Here's our passage this morning, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Each branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and receiving his word this morning. What is the above passage of Scripture a picture of? What's it a picture of? It's a picture of a relationship of dependency. Man needs God in order to live, and live productively, with meaning, with purpose. It is a picture of how man was made to live in a relationship of dependency upon his God. How do we live in dependency upon God? We stay connected. How do we stay connected? By remaining, abiding, dwelling, living in his love. Verse 9. How does one remain in Jesus' love? The Apostle Paul says, by obeying and keeping his commands, just as he, Jesus, the Son, remains in his Father's love by obeying his commands. Verse 10. And what is as he, Jesus the Son, And what is the love that Jesus is talking about? The greatest love. The greatest love that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. Verse 12. That we lay down our agendas, our wants, our desires, our stuff, and lay down ourselves for the benefit of our brothers and sisters. Verse 14. Jesus, in answer to the Pharisees and religious teachers and scribes of the day, when questioned about the greatest commandment of God, said what? Matthew 22:37-40. He said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Do I think I have great love? Do I think I have great love? I have great love. I understand what love is if I lay aside myself to help another brother or sister in need. That's when I know that I am connected to the branch of Christ. But this will only come to matter to us, come to our attention, if we are bearing the word of God, the word of life. As Jesus says, if we are to remain in him, his words must remain in me. If I am in the word, I will have a transformed mind. I will live differently, look at things differently, act differently than the old man or woman I was. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be what? Complete. Equipped for every good work. The word of God makes us complete. The rest of the world, all the knowledge and all that's written in all the books of the world cannot make us complete, but the word of God can. Am I a complete man or woman? Am I complete? Have I finally made it? Not if we're not connected and remain connected to the word of God. We will never be complete without it, because it is the word of God. It is God's thoughts. It is God's mind. It is God's expression to us of who he is and what he's about and who we are to be and become. What he desires, what his will is for us. What his will is. Paul, speaking to the Colossians, says that in Christ Jesus, you have come to be full, complete, if you remain in him and his words remain in you. Colossians 2:9-10. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. The Greek word for fullness, pleiro, means simply full, to make full, fill. In this usage, fullness is meant in the absolute sense. You and I have been imparted completely with the presence, the power, the influence, and the person of Jesus Christ. Completely. There's nothing yearning. There's nothing waning. You and I are complete in Him, as Paul says to the Philippian church. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Aphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The word is the same. I have received everything in full, in abundance, in fact. Do we believe that? What does Jesus pray to the Father in John 17 on our behalf? That we be completely one. And it is possible because He has made us complete in each of ourselves by imparting Himself to us fully, complete, in excess. John 17, 22-23, I've given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be completely one so the world may know you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. Our completeness is intentional. Our completeness bears the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bearing the image of God is just not looking alike, it's being like Him in every aspect. Every aspect except that which is what? Divine. He calls us children. And then He calls us what? Heirs. The world will only come to know and believe in Christ if we, the church, believe and act upon the complete person of Christ in us, imparted to us. Do we believe this? Are we connected to the vine so that we can be a connection point to the world? Are we living as we are born from above, or are we slumming it, connected to second-rate treasures on the earth? What are we living in this world with? What are we deciding to live in this world without? What can we not live in this world without? Is it Christ who lives in me? Or am I the one who still lives? Did I truly die with Christ? Or do I not really believe? Romans 6, 8-11. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over Him, for in light of the fact that He died to sin once for all, but in light of the fact that He lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So in this passage, the vine and the branches, Jesus says, we have been chosen to produce. I have chosen you to bear fruit. Whether we accept Jesus' expectations and commands, we will each be held accountable for our actions or lack of action. Jesus says, I've chosen you and I've appointed you to bear fruit. Verse 16. Bearing fruit is no problem if we are bearing the word of God, if we are indeed choosing to remain in Christ. He will lead us into all truth. He will lead us into all the words. He will lead us into the witness that we need to provide if indeed we are bearing His word. His word, God says, will never return what? Void. Isaiah 55:11. It will accomplish what God desires. We merely have to choose to agree to be the vessel through which God will accomplish his work. God has an expectation that we bear fruit, that we bear his word. It's not okay to sit on the sidelines and be a spectator. That's not okay with God. There is nothing in the word of God that provides an exemption from bearing fruit for God or bearing his word. We are simply to plant the seed. We plant the seed, we may get choose to water that seed. And we might get to be able to harvest that seed. But our responsibility is to plant the seed, is to cast the seed. Bearing fruit and bearing his word speaks of our love for him. We can say we love God, but yet he says, really? What have you done for me? Salvation is not about works. Salvation is about receiving and believing in Jesus Christ and the gift that he is, that he's provided. And that reality of the love that we have for Jesus bears fruit. What we believe bears fruit. Do we forget the parable of the 10 talents? The man who only received 1 talent didn't get a buy. There was no feeling of sorry for himself. There was no justification before the master. The master called the servant what? Called him wicked and lazy. The master took what he had and cast him into the outer darkness, to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:14-30. Even if we have a false understanding of the master, was the servant mistaken about the reputation of the master? He called the master harsh and unjustified. He was fearful of the master. But who's the master? The master is God in the story. Who do we know God to be? What does the word share with us who God is? God is love. God loves us. God is justice. God is justified in all his ways. He is fair. He is righteous. He is holy, and there's not evil in him. He is for our good. Then how can we be mistaken about the reputation of the master? Only if we do not bear the word of God. We do not investigate his claims ourselves. We depend on others for information or innuendo, whether it be true or false. Why not just go to the source? The servant was still held accountable for his lack of action because he chose to be lazy and slothful concerning the person of his master. It's a question for me. Am I lazy and slothful concerning the master? Do I really care to get to know him, to develop a close relationship, to become intimate with him, to be connected to the vine? Or am I living a codependent life with second-rate treasures on the earth? A codependent person is one who looks to and expects another person or thing to fill a need that they have no right to expect from another. In the church, codependency has grown because we really do not trust God as the source of life. We look to people and methods to bring us wholeness rather than to God. We may trust those who represent God, but we do not trust him ourselves. We may even trust in our doctrines and creeds as a substitute for the character and the faithfulness of God. But Colossians 2:10, Paul says what? He says, in him you have been made complete. You have been made complete. Who is the source of life? Who should we be dependent upon? Codependency is when we depend on anyone or anything else to do for us what only God himself can do. What only God himself can do. Are we dependent on secondhand treasures for our fulfillment? Are we connected to secondhand treasures for our life? What's the source of our life? Do we fear God or do we fear the world? I believe it really comes down to faith. Do we really believe what we say we believe is really real? Do we really believe what we say we believe is really real? Jesus was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, sleeping while in a storm. Remember the story. The disciples wake him up in panic, believing they are going to what? Perish. They were going to die. Jesus silences the sea, but then he turns and rebukes his disciples. He says, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Matthew 8:25. They had faith, did they not? They had faith in Jesus. That's why they turned to Jesus and they said, Jesus, you can take care of the sea. Save us. We believe in Jesus. Jesus is the solution over death and sin. He will save us. Amen? The disciples had faith in Jesus to save them, but they did not have the same faith in the God the Father as Jesus did. That's why he's correcting them. Why did Jesus come into the world? To show us how to live with God. How to follow God. To have faith in God. Jesus rebukes his disciples because they do not have the same faith in the Father as he has in the Father. Do we have the same faith in God the Father as Jesus has in the Father? The Father was the branch. The Son was the vine. Are we living connected to the Son who is connected to the Father? Are we remaining in him as Jesus remains in us? Are we living powerlessly and afraid? Are we connected to the vine? Could it be that we're not bearing the word of God as Jesus calls us to, as he commands us? Do we lack the faith in God the Father that Jesus has in the Father? Do we simply believe that there are no expectations upon us other than to believe in Jesus? Then we are not bearing the word of God, and we are not living the word of God. We have attached ourselves to second-rate treasures on the earth that we can and are to do without. What have I chosen not to live in this world without? Sermon in a sentence is this. We are expected to bear the word in order to bear fruit for God. If Christ indeed lives in me and I in him, I will bear the word and I will bear the fruit of God. Are we connected to and dependent on second-rate treasures? Or are we in Christ, choosing to remain in him by bearing the word of God, proving our love to be real and our faith to be worthy of bearing fruit? Let us pray. The music team can come up at this time. Father, it's a challenging word for us this morning. But yet your word is always profitable for us. never returns void. Let us be dependent on you as the source, not on someone else's belief, not on someone else's words. But Father, let us bear your word. Let us obey your word. Let us remain in you as you remain in us. Help us to believe the truth that you have imparted everything that we need, your very person, presence, power in us, complete and full, that we might push back the darkness by bearing your word and bearing fruit. In Jesus' name we pray.